allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First section of the agenda tonight is Superintendent's Report.
Yeah, I'm so happy to see all of you here this evening. I knew once everyone in the community heard that Ms. Perkins was going to be presenting that we'd have this. There are still two or few seats in the front. Ms. Perkins.
This is the fourth budget presentation, and the second one that I'm doing that intended. No, but anyway, this is the fourth budget presentation. Tonight, we're going to go over two topics, one being the tax cap and the other being estimated revenue for 2017-18. That's right. Okay. To start off with, we're just going to do a brief history of the tax levy cap, tax cap was initiated by legislation in 2012-13. That was the first year that we were under that legislation, and basically the tax cap legislation, it's an eight-step process for the tax cap. Initially, when it was put in place, Governor Cuomo was, the 2% came up in that the CPI couldn't be more than 2% in the calculation. So you can see starting in 2012-13, it started off at 2.95, and you see it goes down, and then 2015-16 and 16-17 it went up. On the second line, you'll see the Board of Ed proposed and voter approved. And you'll see again, started off with 2% until 2012-13, and last, 16-17, which is this year, it was 2.34%, and you can see with the asterisk, that includes 0.35% for the capital project.
Just so I understand, that 0.35% was previously approved by the community?
That is correct, and it was mentioned at the time when the project was approved that that would be exclusive of the board goals.
And it also, if you remember, also has a 0.49 that were for enhancements, because if you remember the goals of the board was a 1.5. Mm-hmm. So if you subtract that 0.35, it ends up 1.99, and then going down to a 1.5 is a 0.49. We had to show that last year for enhancements such as international baccalaureate and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you also see, too, on the second line, that with the exception of the year 2014-15, the tax levy came in under the cap. And then the last line is the tax rate increase. Tax rate, we, the school district, we do not calculate the tax rate. It's done by the town, and it's affected by assessments and various other things. And you could see that even on the third line, with the exception of 2013-14, where the assessments went down, the tax rate was actually less than the tax levy. So when you look at a five-year period, the average increase in the tax rate was 1.33.
So the tax rate increases less than the levy because the base gets bigger?
Yes, the assessment of the town.
Because people move in?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and you'll see as we go on how that's calculated, how that's factored into the tax cap. Okay, understanding the tax cap, why is 2% not 2%? Even to this day, people think that when the legislation was passed, you can't exceed 2%. That's not correct, because there are a number of other things that get factored into the tax cap. One being the allowance for new construction. That's called the growth factor, and that's included. Capital exclusion, anything that's related to capital projects, your debt service, your principal, your interest, less building gate is excluded from the tax cap calculation. And then also pensions, if they go for ERS, TRS, teacher's retirement system, employee's retirement system, if it goes more than 2%, that's excluded. And then the adjustment for the CPI, which is the consumer price index. And you can see, it's just the history, that in 2012-13, the CPI was 2.1, but we could only lose 2%. 2013 CPI was 2%, and every year thereafter it's been less than 2%. And this year, 16-17, it was actually 0.12%, and a lot of districts were hurting because of that low CPI. And for many districts, the tax levy is how they generate revenue to support the programs. Okay. This is a representation of how the tax cap is calculated. The first box, you'll see the prior year tax levy. So this year, our tax levy is $22,141,000. Then you add the tax base growth factor. And this year it's 1.46, and that is, Mr. Foster was talking about, you know, having new construction, that's the factor. For our school district, every year we've had a growth factor more than one. So that's good. And then you back out your capital tax levy from the prior year. Then you add the allowable levy growth factor, which is your CPI. This year is 1.26%. And then you get your tax levy limit before exclusions. Then you add to that your capital tax levy for the 17-18 school year. And you come up with a tax levy limit with exclusions of $22,653,881, which is a 2.31% decrease. And that's the tax, calculated tax cap. And that includes 0.67% for the capital project. Another way of looking at it
is... And it's 0.67% as compared to the prior year where it's 0.35 because we've drawn down more?
Because we have to go out with a larger band.
Because of phase two.
Because of phase two.
Okay.
Yes. And just another way of looking at it, you can see that the tax-based growth factor actually generates $323,000. It adds on to the tax levy of the prior year. And then it just goes through the calculations, backing out the prior year debt service, adding the 1.2% of CPI adds another $270,000 to the tax levy, and then you add into the debt service for 17-18. Just another way of looking at it. And again, this is a slide, the first slide that we added the last year, 2018. And you see that the tax cap is 2.31%, which is equal to that. Right now, administration is proposing a 2.31%. The Board of Education has not made a decision yet as to what tax levy they're going to go forward with. But it should be noted that the 2.31% does include the 0.674. Capital project.
So that means, just remember, Board, so you go to 2.31 and you take the 6.7 out of it, and now you're at a 1.64. Still a 0.14 over, but that will still be for incremental growth that is still within the Board goals. So we will recommend to you a 1.5 plus a 0.14 incremental growth plus the 6.7 that's for the capital project, and that's where you end up with a 2.31.
And 0.14 is about how much in dollars?
Oh, it's very little. My guess, and I'm going to say 20,000. Maybe that's off the top of my head. I could be way off with that. But
so that means that the 1.4, I'm just trying to think about this in my mind, and I know we're not to the exactly rubber hits the road, but the 1.5 is used to maintain the program to cover health insurance increases, which we saw previously are about 18%.
Yep.
And contractual increases, step increases, things like that. Yep. 2.3.
And there's a few right now, enhancements, things like, you remember, we put in for some robotics additional coaches.
Yep.
We put in for some additional lacrosse coaches, right? Those are two of the things. And if I have my.
But we're talking like $5,000.
Yeah, no, the little money that we also, Mr. Thode, remember, added one particular team. He added a, what athletic team did Mr. Thode add for next year?
Middle school cheerleading.
Was it track? No. We don't have that. It was
no, he added sport. It was a second team for...
Oh, boys
volleyball.
So that's in there, and there's traveling costs. But those aren't large ticket items.
In the aggregate, that was like $7,000 or
$8,000. Yeah. We added some professional development, so things like that. But you're right. So pretty much the contractual.
The entire growth, as everything we talked about, there were some great growth ideas, some of which we're not going to be able to do. We're talking is that 0.14. 1.5 is in accordance with our goals to manage the program. as we've seen presented, you know, previously, we've trimmed in areas as necessary to continue to manage the program. Yes. Just so that I understand, this 2.31, if we put up a budget at or below a 2.31 tax levy increase, we need 50% plus one person to approve. If it's any higher than that, it's got to be 60%.
Correct.
Got it. So even though it's over 2%, it's still within the 2% tax cap because of all the adjustments.
So it's a simple
majority.
It's not
2%. Why is it 2%?
It's that chart, that long, crazy chart. It confused them. It's worse than the NYP chart, the one that was got us busy for a while.
Okay.
You don't understand it.
It's important, but I guess the takeaway is, from my perspective, it's very important as, you know, we have these conversations and as we communicate to the community, you know, those people who are here and on the website, that it's clear. You know, in every year, we have people come in, wait a minute, 2% to 2%. And I want to make sure we're clear in that communication.
Right, and I think what's real important, too, like in this slide here, is that your tax-based growth factor of 1.46% generates the tax levy, and that's included in the tax calculation, and because there's a lot of construction in some marriages, each year, it's over 1%.
I think we need on the webpage some way to make clear. Listen, I understand exactly what you, and I think that it's obviously exactly right, but I think we need to make clear in our communication on the website and in, you know, what we send, that our 2%, our quote unquote 2% equals 2.31. Nobody's going to read, you know, every line of this and walk through. It's extremely complicated, and you boiled it down, I think, really, really well. But
yeah,
got it.
Okay, and then the tax rate will be determined in December of 2017. Stay tuned. Okay, so the next subject the next area I'd like to cover is estimated revenue for 2017-18. You'll notice these are all the different sources of revenue. And you'll see that state aid, tuition, and the tax levy generates larger sources of revenue. State aid, right now, we're anticipating an increase of $285,198. That includes foundation aid. We had a slight increase in foundation aid, and also our expense-driven aids. That number.
And that increase is less than 2%, right? I mean, just back to the napkin man.
Yeah. And the stent, although he at one time said that we would all get like 4%, but we're not really seeing that. But right now, you see an asterisk there, subject to change. Right now, the state budget hasn't passed, will hopefully pass April 1st. It's been very quiet at the state level. Told that they will be passing the budget, but I think they're focusing more on federal issues right now. Because usually in the paper you'll see the governor arguing with the legislature, the House and the Senate, but you don't see that.
Starting with Trump.
Yeah.
Right. So, but there has been discussion about foundation aid, the GEA, the gap elimination adjustment, that was eliminated last year. Everyone was made whole. And now they're concentrating on foundation aid because, like say, for summer riches, if you look at the foundation aid formula, we're being shortchanged about $4 million. And we have been shortchanged $4 million since, I think, 2010. So they're starting to look at that. And so hopefully we'll get a little bit more.
I'll believe that by the 31st. You know, from what I'm hearing so far, we will have an answer, and that therefore I'll be able to really present in the next one almost exact, I mean, to the penny. I will be able to. So, you know, although I'll give you things in updates as we move along, that's what we've been waiting for, that last you know, piece of the puzzle to be able to move forward.
It's a little nerve-wracking, though, that, you know, you have a tax cap. I mean, if you said kind of just rough numbers, if you rolled over due to our contractual increases, our aggregate is more than 2%, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if they're giving us less than 2, we're limited here. They're effectively saying you need to either trim or cut your program. And I think that unless three, 4 years, we've cut significantly to do it. And it's, and you get to the point where,
where do you cut?
How do you add? How do you do the things that we want to do?
Yeah. I mean, at least they're coming in hopefully on time. The worst is years ago when they used to come in 3 or 4 weeks after that.
Yeah.
And then they give you the number.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're in shock and going, okay, we have to adopt the budget to board. At least this will give you a, you know, a couple weeks to a month to be able to absorb everything.
Okay, next, source of revenue is tuition. We receive our tuition from resources, one being the Native American students, the other special ed students are from our special ed program, students attending from out of district, and also Eastern Riches, those students attending, those students selecting Ascendant Riches as a school to for their secondary.
So does this 5.572 reflect those who have affirmatively selected plus what we expect to receive from reservation and special ed tuition that we know we've got?
Yes.
So is that a number that, I mean, nothing's set in stone, but that's a number that you can kind of hang your hat on, whereas the others are subject to some fluctuation?
At this point, yes. Unless
Are there actions that we can take at this point to drive that number up?
No. I mean, as far as
I believe it'll go up. We've always notoriously had East Riches students. Anybody that transfers from other schools always seem to come here. We have very few, if any, that leave. So I would expect that to go up. Special education is always kind of the rough one because you never know. One particular, you know, high end student could leave and all of a sudden change it drastically, or the other way around. So, but usually
the process of annual review. So whatever decision that will be made in terms of a child's placement will be made over the next few months.
So is there an opportunity to...
There can be. There can be.
Yeah, we've
but it's hard to... We have Canvas, but it's hard to give you a set number because we don't know what will transpire.
So this is what you have in the bank.
Yes.
But there's potential upside. And I know
there
that...
There can be.
Yeah.
And things happen. I'll give you an example. If you read recently, William Floyd has just opened a program at their school for any students that are, I believe, like K through 2.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't affect us. If it were a high school program, you know, we might have a few students that are here, you know. So things like that happen, and all of a sudden they try to transfer students or things like that. But right now, I'm pretty confident where we're sitting right now. I think it will increase with the email, and I think the Okeechobee Nation usually, we're pretty spot on with that because we know the numbers.
Okay.
Josh, you have any questions?
We'll do it at the end. Let her go through. And if you ask specific questions, we'll go through again.
We have their interest. We have, there's no increase in that. Health contracts are the services that we provide to our private and public schools. Those students attending from out of districts, we charge back those districts for the services that we render. Other income includes things like parentally placed.
Are those health contract dollar amounts? Set, I mean, first of all, it's a very round number, but are they set in stone? Is there an opportunity to charge more?
No. What you do is there are a number of things that you look at. You have to look at your psychologist salaries, your social workers, things like that get factored in and scrutinized by other districts as we do. They look at your budget to see what you actually have in your budget and then come up with a number. Divided by the number of students and charge them that way. But everyone does scrutinize that number.
But it's something we've looked at that 150 and said, wow, we're paying our psychologists more, but it should still be 150 because the number of students has gone up.
It's usually around, you know, sometimes you're a little over, sometimes you're a little under.
Okay.
But it's around 150,000, that's why I include that number. Your other income is things like your Medicaid, your E-rate, textbook, lost textbooks, printly placed, also just various other items fall under that category. Reserve, we're applying $121,852 again from the ERS reserve, employee retirement reserve, applied fund balance 1.2, and then the tax levy, which I had mentioned before, 2.31% increase.
And the 150 that was in the other reserves last year that's not... We're not spending this year was money that we used for the bleachers?
Yes.
Now Mark is going to ask a question.
Yeah.
Thank you. The portion of the tuition revenue that comes from the reservation, is that directly from the federal government, or is that generated locally by the reservation?
What happens is the school district enters into an agreement with the New York State, and then a rate is determined. It's a long formula. And then every year, we bill the state for each student based on the tuition rate.
The only thing we don't, Marcus, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the busing.
Yes,
busing. The busing is done separately.
Right, busing.
Besides that, we bill the state.
Yes. And that is the end of my presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carol.
So it brings us to the next section of the agenda tonight. Whether there's any questions from people in the community on topics that are on tonight's agenda. Yes. Remember, we're recording.
Hi, my name is Marcus Babsey. I have a question. Item number 10, contracts.
Yeah.
Will there be detail when you go into that item? Or
you can just talk to it. So the CMTA contract was the addition of a club,
Science,
and that club is?
Science Exploration.
Science Exploration Club. And the CMPA was a clarification. I don't know if you'll remember, we negotiated a contract with the CMPA regarding an extension to the contract. They had gone a period of time without an extension. As part of that, there were longevity payments and other things. There was a slight bit of conversation around what constituted a year for purposes of receipt of the longevity payments, and there were a number of people who had part-time early in their career 20 years ago, so we had a conversation with the unit and effectively just clarified that, Carol, you can check me, but clarified that, hang on, we read the CMPA, those who
been with
the 20
years.
It's a 20-year provision, right?
Combination of full-time part.
20 years of full. It was 20 years of full-time. Calculated by the time the unit member was first employed, shall receive an annual longevity payment of $1,000. So the question was, wait a minute, is it full-time or there were
yeah.
a very small number,
very small
two number. People or so, or three people that had, well, I had some part-time before. How do you want to treat that?
Yeah, and half years, so about a half and half, is that equal one? So really, it's not a lot, but it clarified for those few people. And, you know, you do these things, and all of a sudden, there's one or two that say, by the way, I'm not really noticed in there, and then they change it. So that's what it is.
Okay. Other item is 14, second policy reading. Surveillance cameras in school property. I know this is something I discussed with Josh previously. Maybe that's why it's on here. I just want to put some thoughts out there. I mean, in terms of the number of new cameras we're rolling out, I think it's significant with the technology upgrades. I think what's important, what I think should be considered is people that have access to this, and I know that's defined someplace. Also, what is it that is actually recorded when somebody looks at these videos? In other words, is there some record that people can go back, or that the superintendent can look at and see who's been accessing this, and potentially for what reason? So, I mean, you can imagine scenarios, and I have no reason to think this has ever happened or would happen in Santa Roaches, but you might have an individual that's allowed access to this and is looking at cameras outside a locker room, for instance, on a regular basis. And the district might be in a position to, you know, challenge that and want to find out how much has it happened, why has it happened, things like that. So, you know, it's not something that you necessarily want to think about, but you may want to consider what you have available to help you out in a situation like that.
So have you, I mean, and just maybe you got it all, I just have a question, though. I mean, have you looked at, did you get a chance to look at the policy online or no?
No, I did not.
Okay. I'm curious as to exactly, I mean, I see what you're saying, but what our policy says is, you know, the videos are going to be secured, superintendent shall be the designated, you know, or his designee shall be custodian of such recordings. Mm-hmm. We're not going to allow the release except that's required by law or regulation or, you know, in their discretion. So I think what you just said allows us to use it and cover it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to post signs by entrances that say you're being recorded.
Oh, sure.
But I guess are you looking for more than that? Or?
Well, I guess you could describe it as an audit trail, right?
So yep.
You've got somebody looking at these for legitimate purposes.
Yep. Who's accessed and why is your question.
Right. So, I mean, if you look at our financial audit process, it's very meticulous.
Yeah.
You know, an outside auditor, not even affiliated with the district, comes in and looks at all the financial records, talks to Carol in great length. You know, if there were to be some
palpable
audit on this stuff.
Perfect.
I don't know what to be able to provide.
Yep.
Thank you.
And I would assume, from an IT perspective, that should be very clear as to how we do that, but we should check.
Yep, we'll do.
Any other questions on tonight's agenda? No? Okay. Let me just see what we have to set up. Motion to adopt minutes of regular meeting on March 8th, 2017. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. No, I was just trying to see where.
Okay. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignation.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee for a leave of absence as per the CMTA collective bargaining agreement.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2016-2017 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teaching and support staff vacancies for 2016-2017. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as that the established clause contained in said contracts and authorized the president to sign said contracts.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the 2015-2016 federal single audit report.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of records.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education and the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the months of January, February, and March for the 2016-2017 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education conducts a second reading of the following policies.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously with the caveat, the unanimous period. But we should go back and look at the point that Marcus raised regarding an audit trail.
Yep.
And see if we should get something in there for the third reading on the surveillance cameras. So, this year, as you may or may not know, there's been some discussion around the number of snow days that were built into the calendar and how those snow days are treated and taken back to ensure that we've got the maximum amount of instructional time. This year was a tough year just based on the way the holidays fell and things, and we previously twice have adopted a calendar that in the first instance had no snow days. We then went back and looked and said, wow, we really had an experience this year. We heard from teachers and staff and community that, you know, we need to do better. We need to figure out a way to better plan. So we went back and looked at two, and then we, you know, as it poured, but we had a day off because, you know, they predicted 18 inches of snow. We said, wow, it may snow more than 2 days. Let's again see if we can plan better, and we did. So we've now come back, and we've had discussions with, you know, the relative bargaining units to kind of tell them what our thoughts are. But we've come up with a plan that we think enables everybody to better plan for holidays and others, and also us to ensure the safety of our staff and students when it snows, such that we've got 3 days that we're building into this calendar for snow days prior to our then having to take days back from April. So if we had more than 3 days, we'd be in the same position we are now. But based on kind of our review of the last number of years, we're hopeful that 3 is sufficient. So we've got in front of us a revised calendar. I'm just looking at one thing here. Revised calendar that provides for 183 days of 183 days that were open, 181 days of instructional time, plus 2 superintendent's conference time. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments on this calendar as revised? Ideas how we can make it 6 days?
One of the things, Board, just so you know, that we had the calendar committee, and I know a few of you were calling me as well, you know, we got down to, we kind of weren't sure on what day should be the first snow day, what day should be the second snow day, and so on. So as you're looking at it right now, you can see that the first snow day would be May 29th. The second snow day would be May 25th. And we left the last snow day as March 29th. So we kept that entire break together in case people did make plans, like some people did this year and kind of got caught a little bit. So that was the only real question. Also, on here, in the note on November 10th, it says Veterans Day. That's observed, I guess you would say, to some extent, because it's not actually Veterans Day. It's the next day. But that's, you know, personally how we've always done it on the calendar. So we kept it that way.
So from my perspective, this seems to be, you know, much better to enable people to better plan their vacations, both staff and families, community. Makes sense to me. Does anybody feel differently?
No. And the hope is not to have to use
the hope is not to have to use any of them. It'd be great if it didn't, but I mean, I think the takeaway is a bit of planning in the first instance, a bit more planning in the first instance, while it means, you know, additional days of instruction earlier on will enable people to better plan their trips later.
So if the board's in agreement, and you know, my recommendation, if you want to give that to either Pat or if you want to read it, Josh, that's fine.
Okay. Is everybody good?
I was just saying, I don't know. I'm sure you spoke about that November 22nd, the day before.
Yes, everything, yet.
Because East Meridius doesn't have school that day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Resolved that the Center of Riches Union Free School District's calendar for 2017-2018 school year is hereby amended to add August 31, 2017 as a staff conference day. Change November 22, 2017 from a staff conference day to an instructional day. And in the event the district has to take 3 snow days, school will be in session on May 29, May 25, and March 28, 2018, respectively.
29.
So I said May 29, May 25th, and March. Oh, did I say 28?
Yes.
28, March 29, 2018, respectively. Got it. Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Okay, boy, I also had an addendum, Robin. We have a, we put an addendum to the Board of Education agenda that wasn't on the public agenda. It's kind of a surprise, and sometimes you need to recognize those of us that really are champions for change. So I'd ask Robin if you can just read, if you wouldn't mind, the resolution.
Sure. Resolved that the Board of Education of the Center Ridges Union Free School District hereby nominates Joshua Foster of the Center Ridges Union Free School District Board of Education for the New York State School Board Association's Champion for Change Award.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Motion. Second. All in favor? Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or any questions or comments from the community on items not on tonight's agenda?
Just,
we're recording, so it's helpful.
Nothing about anything else that went on the agenda, but the is there any way of, like, when you guys get these papers that you're passing around, they can be out for the five of us so that we can kind of see a hard copy as well? Because sometimes you're following things back there and you don't always exactly see what you're kind of looking at or seeing.
Absolutely.
So if there's a little more transparency, would that be awesome? Which I believe it is.
So we have the agendas out and they're posted. The if you're talking about the exhibits and the contracts, that we wouldn't.
No, not your contracts, but like.
Oh, the additionals? Oh,
yeah, like even your budget presentation that goes up, if you have a hard copy of it there, you can kind of take a look when you're sitting with it and follow looking down. Thank you.
Yep. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay. So,
can I walk in, please?
Yeah.
John Miller.
Okay.
You want me to start off?
Yeah, start off.
Okay, so we also want to discuss tonight the capital project, more specifically the phase two of the capital project. The board remembers last time we were here, the board approved the rebidding of the capital project phase two, and the reason for that was that the numbers were quite high, and the board felt that we could do better, and so we did look at the specifics of the bid, and we did rebid with a few minor changes. What I'm happy to report is we did better, which was a good sign. And instead of, at that time, if I'm not mistaken, you correct me here, I'm going to ballpark numbers, but we were probably about $600,000 off at that time. And so we did go out to rebid.
$600,000 off meaning what? Meaning that the bids that came in, if we took the lowest bid, were approximately $600,000 over the amount that we had allocated for the remainder of the work.
Correct. And, you know, what I've done for you tonight also, I put in front of you, I just happened to be this morning, an article in Newsday that, you know, kind of shows one of the local colleges and what they're going through is, I believe, very similar to what we're going through here. The good news, like I said, is we definitely did better. And I'm going to let John Grillo talk about where we did better. But at this point in time, we still are falling short of what the community approved.
So before we get to exactly how we did better, and John, I may have some questions for you. I appreciate you coming tonight.
No problem.
I just want to spend a minute to kind of talk about how we got to the number that we went out to the community and said, this is what we expect it's going to cost, and when that was. So we, Kevin, and, you know, feel free to jump in, but I'm, we calculated that number. You gave us a number based upon what and when.
Well, I mean, we're going back to 2013.
4 years ago.
We want to start from the beginning. So we put together a list of projects with the Facilities Committee and budgets, and included in that I had my escalation numbers. We went out to the community for about $18.8 million in December of 14. That failed.
So escalation numbers, help me understand that.
Knowing that a majority of the work is going to be done, we anticipated at the time, when we first gave you the numbers, some work in 2015 and majority of the work in 2016.
That's so you raised it up and said, wow, 16, maybe 5% more.
5% more.
Correct. Okay.
Correct. So we put that out. We then, when the budget failed, when the bond vote failed, we kind of reconvened. We gathered our forces. We basically chopped the project in half.
We went out to revote in May of 15. So unfortunately, by doing that, we lost that whole summer for doing work. So right off the top, it pushed us back a year. I was still okay with the numbers.
Did we tweak them at that point?
No, I didn't. We didn't come back and say, I think if we did that at that point, the community would have said, you're playing games now. You know, 6 months ago, this was the number, and now you're going to ask the community for more money to do the same work. I was still comfortable with the numbers. However, three things really happened.
So that was 15.
Well, it was May of 15.
Okay.
So the numbers didn't change from December 14 until May of 15.
So May of 15, we go out and we have a vote.
Right. The only thing we did that summer, and we were actually under budget with, we rushed the emergency masonry and steel repair at the secondary school in the gymnasium. Mm-hmm. We got that done. It saved us about $30,000 or $35,000. We did that work in that summer. We then, by I think it was like July or August of 15, we went up to the state with the first projects, and people may not agree with me, but in my opinion, it was the priority one most important projects. It was the roof, the windows, the masonry, the security on the doors, the septic system. We were able to get that up. Now, what the state education department allows you to do, sometimes it works in your benefit, sometimes it doesn't, is what's called level one projects, which means a project where you're doing a one-for-one replacement. You're replacing a roof one-for-one, a door one-for-one, whatever. It's a level one. You're kind of allowed to, I don't want to say cut the line, lack of a better word, cut the line and get some of these projects approved a little bit faster. So that's why I package those together.
Level one versus greenfield kind of thing.
Versus interior renovations to a science lab where you're adding ventilation and you're moving plumbing. So the complicated projects that take a little bit more review time. But from the time we got our bond approved up until literally 4 weeks ago, they had four retirees up at SED. Now, over the years, I mean, since I've been doing this back in 1988, when somebody retired, they replaced them. About 10 years ago, they kind of stopped doing that. As you know, back in the 2006, 2007, 2008, we really started to see the budget crunch. Instead of replacing that person, they took his tasks or her tasks, they gave them to somebody else. And then Albany absorbed that $80,000 or $100,000 or $150,000, whatever the salary was, and absorbed that money. They never replaced them. So it finally caught up to them. So Carl Thurnau, who is the head of SED, came back and said, all right, we're in trouble. Our backlog is at 44 weeks. We have
backlog to review and approve plans.
Projects for all 724 school districts.
And they have to review them because they're reimbursing us at 60-something percent.
Correct. So just like if you built an addition to your house, you go to the local jurisdiction, school districts go to the state education department. Mm-hmm. But when you have 724 school districts in New York State, you have four architects and four engineers, literally if one architect goes to the bathroom, your workforce goes down by 25%. I mean, it is unbelievable. So he's in panic mode. Albany allows him to take $800,000 and advertise for more architects and engineers. First 24 applicants, he offers the job to, they all turn him down. So they say, okay, now what's plan B? Plan B is to now allow us to outsource these projects to other engineering firms throughout the state in an effort to reduce the backlog. That started to work. Carl Thurnau then decided to leave Albany and go to a different position. He wanted to take Chuck Saberla's job, who is his boss. He wasn't offered the job. He left. So now one of the other sitting architects now becomes into his spot. So we lose another person. They've run out of money on the $800,000, and we're back up to like 30 weeks. Coupled with that is the governor's 8 or 9 years ago with the 2% tax cap. The formula, I don't think everybody kind of saw it, but as debt is coming off, if you don't replace that debt, you actually get in trouble for it. I mean, it actually penalizes you. So now we have more, in the last 18 months, there's been more bond issues passed than any other time in the history of New York State. Not so much the total dollar amount, but the number. I mean, in the last 6 weeks alone, seven districts passed bond issues alone. It's unbelievable. So you now have all of this work, all of these bonds passed, plus because you had that long backlog, during the summer of 2015, there were far more contractors than work. Because normally you could submit plans and specs up to the state November, December, January, and still get them approved in time for the summer. There was very little work done in the summer of 15 because of that backlog. If you didn't have your plans up to the state by September or the beginning of October, you lost the whole summer. So now, the summer of 16, and now we're seeing for the summer of 17, is 2 years' worth of work, just your regular capital work, out on our street at the same time, same number of contractors, plus you're throwing in these bond issues, and the numbers are staggering. They are ridiculously high. Like nothing we've ever seen. Escalation is blown out of the water. The numbers are...
What does that mean? Escalation is blown out of the water?
5% was blown out of the water. We're not seeing 5% a year increase. We're seeing 10 and 11 and 12%.
And is that because, in your estimation, the contractors and the professionals that are doing the work, whatever, maybe can get it, or is there a material reason for it?
It's a combination of the two. It's definitely a combination of supply and demand. I mean, I don't know if I had another district in Suffolk County. We did, it's a big district, large. We were replacing every univent in the whole district. We were doing four buildings in 1 year, four buildings in a year, in another year. Just so happens that one of the buildings in the first year and one of the buildings in the second year are identical schools. Size, number of classrooms, everything is the same. We put it out 1 year apart. The bid for that second school came in $400,000 higher than the other bid.
What's the percentage?
Of that, it had to be 35%.
John, would you say the electrical from phase two now, is that like the perfect example? Can you explain that? Because I thought when I heard what just happened between our last bid and this bid with the electrical and the amount of people and why the others did not bid, do you mind just talking a little bit?
That
I think it explains it to me. Was
so because you have what's called the Wicks law, you have to break it up into the four prime trades. So we had the GC, plumbing, mechanical, and the electrical. And we had, you know, five or six bidders for each of the trades except for the electrical. When we bid in January, we had five bidders. When we bid on last Friday, we only had one bidder. So as soon as I got in the car, I called the other four bidders. I said, where were you? Why'd you bid? I said, in the last 6 weeks, we picked up so much work, we can't bid anymore. So when I was here last time, and I said, I think we're going to save at least $600,000 or $650,000, I wasn't that far off because we saved about $450,000. But then I looked at the electrician who bid this time and last time was Palace Electric. His bid between last time and this time, by doing the value engineering, he was $140,000 less this time than he was last time. However, the first time he bid, he happened to be the highest. So his number...
I mean, you said five. Where are the other
four?
15 electrical contractors?
They're all done for the year.
Guys just aren't bidding because...
They're done for the year.
But just those, when you said that we had five last time.
Right.
Are there only five?
Oh, no, there's dozens. But if they're all done for the year or, you know, or they're doing other work or already booked up, they're just not bidding. I was just focusing on the five that bid last time. Only one of those five bid this time.
But this went back out to everyone, not just those
five. Oh, this goes out to all the papers and then the Dodge Report, the Brown's Letters, and all these construction magazines pick them up and they put them out in the paper. And
so if you netted it out, just, you know, roughly, your estimation that you created in 14 or 13 that we went out and got approval for in 15.
Yeah.
Okay, and you had escalations in there, so it's not like you missed it.
Oh, no, not at all.
You had escalations in there, so we went out in 15, we got the voters to approve. We're now seeing labor costs that exceed that estimation by how much?
Labor is... Throw labor out the window because the
labor job cost. I use the wrong term. Job cost.
You know, because the labor, the prevailing wage schedule is listed in every specification. So this is not even the labor.
That hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed.
Right.
This is, you know, Gary and I, as ABC Construction, we get our pricing in. We already have a lot of work. We're going to mark it up 40%. If we get it, great.
So this is profit to the trades.
This is profit.
All profit to the trades because they're busy.
Exactly right. This is manufacturers and subcontractors. This is not
the material increased material costs that are beyond what you expected. Copper, rubber.
Now, the whole thing about it's all going to China. The concrete's up. It's up a little bit, but not like this. This is manufacturers and subcontractors jacking up the numbers to the point of, you know, if you're a general contractor, I mean, the 15 or 20 of us in this room could be a general construction company. 99 out of 100 of those GCs, none of them swing a hammer. They're the owners, they're the estimators, they're the project managers, they're the field supers, they do everything else. They don't swing a hammer, they don't use the paint. They hire a subcontractor for the GC, for the masonry, for the steel, for the painting, for the flooring. All they do is get those numbers, they put them together, here's my bid. If every sub is busy and they're jacking up their numbers, and then they're going to buy vinyl tile or a can of paint or steel or anything like that, those guys are raising the numbers more. And I found out indirectly, or not less, but I talked to you about with the Unifence, one salesman from the manufacturer who we used the first phase actually said to one of the Unifence contractors, it would be,
what did he say?
Something to the effect that it would be suicidal if you use any other Univent besides ours. Now, I'm in the process of going after this guy, basically saying, don't use anybody else's, use ours, but well, by the way, I'm going to jack it up $400,000 difference. So there's a whole big separate thing going on that I'm on a personal vendetta on that, but this is what's going on.
So what we did, Boyd, for you tonight is we have two, as far as we all see it, two options. One we kind of lean towards as an administration and as a committee, because we all did sit down with building principals and John Grillo and of course Carol Perkins and Rainer and so on, just to discuss this and what we should recommend to the board as we move forward, especially thinking like we're getting towards the summer now and we don't have many meetings left, so we thought it's very important to kind of, I know I gave you a lot of information this week, but I did send you two possible suggestions. John can explain both of them to you if you'd like, and to the public to hear with two possibilities or directions we could go as a district. Is that okay to listen to them and hear those both?
Yeah, I think it's helpful. I mean, what you're I think that's helpful, exactly what we should do, but what you're saying, you're seeing in this 25% higher is exactly what we saw today in Newsday, where they had a $16 million complex that's up a community that came in $4 million over, but 25% higher. So take us, what are we looking at?
I would go with the second one.
22?
Which is...
The second one.
After meeting today with myself, Russ, Raina, Kim, et cetera, that's more and more that I think about. I think this is the way that we should go.
The reason we were hesitating just a little bit with this one is because we were going to stagger some of the work at the elementary school, and one of the concerns was, as John will explain to you, was, can we get it done, some of the work, during the school year, which would apparently save a lot of money because a lot of the work in the summer cost a lot more. But we were a little concerned.
Because the guys are down during the school year?
Yes. Yep. And we were talking more about the bathrooms in particular. Well, if you have to close down a bathroom and get it fixed, then what would that mean to the building? Would that be any safety issue with a couple people there at that time? So we wanted to really kind of work with that with Kim and see what that would look like. And at the end of the day, I think we were all very comfortable about the distraction,
right,
if you will, that would occur. So go ahead, John, if you want to explain that one.
What we did, again, we have the four trades, and what I'm recommending, some of the projects are just too big to be doing during school year, after school, weekends, holidays, that kind of thing. So my recommendation is to award the science labs, the 300 wing, and the security vestibule at the high school, get all our work done this summer. It's just a large job. You're going to wreck half the high school with the dust and the debris and the number of contractors. Get all of that done this summer. The only work that leaves to be done is the rooftop cooling unit at the high school auditorium. Even if we awarded that tonight, you're not going to have that cooling unit in time for May or June. So there's really no reason to rush that. And like I said, the electrical bid on this last phase was actually higher than the first time. So I don't want to now go out when I know, even if we don't change anything, we could get it for $15,000 less. That could be done at any time. And in order to do that, I don't know, and I wasn't here, but I think they actually put that unit first and built the building around it.
That's correct.
We literally, in order to replace that unit, we have to blow a hole in the side of the building, put in a piece of steel, pull the unit out, put the new unit in, and then put an access door in, so if God forbid anything happens in the future, we have the ability to fix it. There's no way to get the unit out without cutting it to pieces or doing this.
So just so that I can take note,
yep.
You're recommending, before we get to the quotes on what we've got, what you're recommending we not do now, that was part of the original scope, is HVAC at the technique.
Cooling, the DX coil of the unit that cools the air conditioner. High school auditorium. Doesn't work.
Oh, yep.
So we need to replace
that. So you're saying wait on that.
Wait on that.
Okay, and that can be done during the school year.
Yeah, well, you make the opening, not during the day, but we can cut that in for at 3 o'clock, make the opening, put the access panel in. Then they'll either come in after school or on a Saturday, pull out the old one, put in a new one.
What was your estimate for that work?
100. I don't have that. I'll get it for you.
Is that work location number one?
No, that was the bids. I didn't bring the original estimate.
I'm curious, and maybe I'm asking the wrong question, but as we back out things, mm-hmm. I want to see what we expected it to cost, and I want to make sure that as we approve things, the delta from what we expected and what we've got approved, we still have enough to get the work done
Correct.
In the way in which you want to do
Correct.
It.
Correct.
Okay. So it's the high school AC, we'll get the dollars.
Yep.
What else?
That would not, and so then everything else,
approving. Yeah.
Everything else at the high school would be done this summer. It would be by September 1st.
But well, we had other portions in there, wasn't
the elementary's next.
Okay, gotcha.
So, and then at the elementary school, I'm recommending we don't do anything now.
So what that means is what? Bathrooms?
It's the three bathrooms. The renovation of the science lab. That one second floor classroom, I think it's a fifth grade classroom
where we're going to make that a little bit larger, and we're going to move the technology, which is a very small room, to another room.
Okay.
And then the other one was the enlarging of the one special ed room, the 1211 or the 811 room, which is the old locker room.
Yeah. And then wasn't there
Main Street Gym?
The Main Street Gym
and
the AC.
Gym. Yeah, the AC.
Heat, right? I mean, there's all
not AC, just
heat.
Yeah.
Heat in the gym.
Which is working fine right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so got it. So we're not doing cooling at the auditorium, or what your proposal is. Bathrooms 3 at Clayton, science lab, fifth grade expansion, enlarging the 811 room, or the heat in the gym.
Yep.
And I want to understand, I don't know, Carol, do you have, and if you don't, it's okay, it's a lot, but do you have what those numbers equaled in our estimate?
In the past? No, I think.
Okay. Okay.
I backed out, and I've been working with Carol nonstop for the last couple of days, and I backed out, and it's roughly what we have left in the budget after we award tonight would be $1,070,000, something like that.
107 left. And then if you took the bids for the work that you're backing out, what did that equal?
You going to make me do that?
Well, you think about it, John, you're still going to be off the same amount of money. So approximately, you can feel comfortable, unless I'm missing something, that you can say that work's going to be over 1.3.
I think we'll be fine.
No, I'm not saying we'll be fine, but yeah. I'm saying right now, if we were to award it.
Right now, if we were to award it, we'd have to hold off on work locations and we'd be out of money. If we award everything tonight.
I understand that.
We would have to do everything.
Leftover work.
Two work locations, and we would pretty much have dried out the cookie jar.
I understand. So,
and do you believe you're going to be able to save in the second part of this approximately $300,000 mm-hmm. in what you're planning on doing?
Yep.
I just need to understand a little better. So if we approve everything tonight,
yep.
we're left with $1,070,000.
Carol, you're going to check that for me because I just did that on my iPhone.
So what I don't want to do, what I'm trying to avoid, is approving these bids. Say we got $1,070,000 left, going out to bid again on these projects, whatever you
September, split, right after
September, and realizing, wow, and I don't know if that $1,070,000 left includes paying everybody that we've got to pay, construction managers, you, across the board.
I pulled that out. That's already aside. This is just hard costs.
Okay.
So we
went out to the community in good faith and said, here's all the work we had. Building, what was the committee?
Facilities.
facilities committee go through, spend an inordinate amount of time, we went out to the community and said, here's all the work we are going to do. If you approve it, from my perspective, we need to still do every bit of that work. Perhaps there may be value engineering here, but how do we know today, if we approve the things that you're going to walk us through, we can get this done for $1,070,000? Is there any? We don't. So if it came in at 1.2, right, today we're at 1.3, what would be your, I mean, it's the same thing as a budget conversation, right? What do you cut? Well, how do we get this down? So the community approved the tax increase to get X.
We're going to bid every work location again.
Yeah.
And we're going to sit with Russ and Kim and Karen, the whole gang, and go through when we can touch each work location, and that'll be in the plans. We're going to do, you know, bathroom A from September 15th till October 1st and get that whole schedule out and bid those 8 work locations again.
And if they come in at $1.3 million, we have $1,070,000 left, what do we do?
We don't do one or two of the work locations.
Or you reject the whole thing and you wait to a later date. I mean, that's up to the board. The goal is, of course, to get it under cost for what the community approved.
Is there value engineering, further value engineering in there that we could do for, you know, I mean, we talked about expanding that one room into the other room, and if we do it this way instead of this way, it saves $50,000.
I did that.
You did that.
And some of those numbers, and I have the breakdown of last bid, this bid. Some of the bids, some of the guys were dead on, no
right.
change in scope. Some of them, their numbers went up. And I know for a fact I took thousands and thousands of dollars out, you know, some of the niceties and this, their numbers went up.
So we're looking for a 20% haircut, which is pretty significant, right? $200,000+. How much of the other costs? So you said this is just their cost. You took out all the other costs from the $1,070,000. How much is there? Meaning what we owe the construction.
We know that we're going to save $60,000 or $80,000 just on the electrical numbers alone, just by looking at the comparison. You know, like I said, the guy who bid the second time, he was $140,000 low, but he was the highest last time.
Right.
If you follow that analogy across, the other bidders that are going to bid in the fall that don't have the same kind of work that they do in the summer, they're all going to be sharpening their pencils. Because the goal is to keep their workers working and not have to lay off their guys, keep their workers working through the year. So a plan like this would actually keep their workers working when they're normally not either not doing anything or trying to get private work or whatever they're doing.
So there's no, I hear you, there's no, we're looking toward them to do what they need to do to keep their guys working, bid a more reasonable amount because they're not too busy. Is there, though, additional value engineering here that you would do when you rebid to eat a piece of that? That wouldn't impact what the community has approved?
And some of these, we're replacing floor tile and ceiling tile and lights and putting in a couple feet. I mean, it's just people being fat and hungry and basically not caring. If they get it, they get it. If they don't, I don't care. I mean, in good faith, I couldn't recommend to this board to spend $80,000 on the 5th grade room so you could make it 10 feet bigger. I mean, you wouldn't do that in your home. If you wanted to make your home 10 feet bigger and someone said it's going to cost you $80,000 when you know it could cost you 30 or 40, you wouldn't do it.
Right.
You'd wait.
You would wait. I mean, the numbers, you know, and when I put the numbers together, you know, it's not asbestos floor tile. It's not asbestos floor, so it's $2 a square foot. Ceiling and lighting is $15 a square foot. I can't find where the other $40 a square foot is just to make an opening in a non-load-bearing wall.
Yeah.
How long can we wait, though? I mean, what is the time frame that we have to use the bond money?
10 years.
Oh.
Okay.
Plus, they're going to triple by then.
I don't recommend waiting 10 years because this crazy. It's very cyclical. I remember in 2000 and 2001 when the state threw out that extra 10% incentive and the bond issues that were passing were ridiculous. Then in the mid-80s, then they saw a little bit of a dip. Then they had that Excel money where they came with the Excel incentive, no cost to the taxpayer. Then it dipped again, and now it's on this ridiculously high roller coaster, which is higher than anyone I've ever seen.
John, what are other districts doing that are in the exact same position? So there's a lot that are doing this.
They're either cutting out scope. I mean, like the other district I talked about with the Univents, they went to the vote and said, sorry. I mean, the numbers are so high, we can't wait any longer. We have to get these univents replaced. We're going to use the cost overruns on the ceiling and lighting that we're going to replace. We're just not going to do that work. You're either cutting out scope or you're waiting and rolling the dice to see if... But, you know, because of all of the school work that... We live in 8 and 9 week work, you know. That's my life. It's 8 weeks or 9 weeks. There's not a lot going on between September and June.
Sometimes it's roofing between like September and November.
Well, if it's roofing between September and June. Yes. Normally, I mean, unless you're building a big addition, you're really not doing a lot of work in schools. So they're either rolling the dice or they're scaling back or they're waiting.
So take us through what you got on March 22nd, what you're suggesting here.
So like I said before, we would be recommending $1.8 million worth of work, and that would get everything done at the high school, like I said, with the exception of the cooling coil and the air conditioning at the...
So I can walk through to my head. Contract number one, general construction.
That's renew contracting.
Right.
So then you see it's broken down by work location.
Science room renovations, high school. Yeah. Work location number two, 300 wing. And these guys, just so that I'm clear, they're in the 300 wing, that is...
Technology.
Yep.
Room 305.
Technology room in the back. All the renovations there, yep. Work location three, security booth. Total for that contractor, 843. Just so that I understand, how many...
So, for example,
bid there.
One way, so we're going to value engineer. The last time we opened bids, the low bidder was $858,000. Mm. This time, what we did is we pulled out the acid tank, and we bid that separately as a direct bid. So that was $158,000 and $479,000, so we saved about $200,000 on the value engineer on the GC for work location.
Where is that acid tank, though? You said it bid
it's separate. It's a separate PO. It's not on this recommendation letter because we already got the proposal, and we already recommended that.
So it's separate, and it's already been paid for. It's out of the money that...
Correct, and that's already pulled out of that $1 million as well.
So, okay, so...
And then we value engineered the 300 wing, and the first bid was $385,000, and this bid was now
$298,000. So, and I don't know if I'm going to ask this the right way, but we've got $1,070,000 left.
Yep.
Now, initially, we had a 10% buffer, right?
Correct.
Does that million? Is there a 10% buffer?
That's pulled out off to the side already.
So, okay. So, if the things that we approve tonight, mm-hmm. the 1.8, there's $180,000 in a box somewhere that is in addition to the $1,070,000, such that if this job goes over because they find something crazy in the wall.
Correct.
We're good.
Yep.
That makes sense?
Carol said we have $4,254,000 left. So we pulled out we actually pulled out 11%.
So in fairness, it's possible that if these guys bid tight, and Daryl, I mean, I look to you, I don't know if that's something that they do or not, and there's no change orders, that 100 and whatever you just said, it was 11%, so that 200 grand fills a bit of the hole.
If nothing's found.
If nothing is found.
They're going to fit into the drawing and the specifications, and if they find a rat in the wall, it's hazmat, whatever,
right.
They're going to have to deal with it, and
right.
It's going to be a change order.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's your, John, in your estimation or your experience, how tight is it? Is it 10% usually? Does it usually overrun 10%?
I've never had 10% on change orders, and you guys can look up on the SED website ever.
So it's usually more or
ever.
Less?
No, not even close. Way less.
Okay.
Way less.
Okay.
Josh will hold you to it.
He can hold me to it.
He would.
We'll record it.
No problem. I'll show him exactly where on the website. You can go look at all the change orders we've ever written.
All right, so take us through number two, please. If anybody's got questions, jump in. I'm just trying to understand what you're looking at.
So then, again, the other three trades, plumbing, mechanical, and electrical.
For those same work locations.
Same work location. It's just broken down by trade because of the Wicks law.
And same questions. That there's 10% aside for that. Each one of these, so as I look at the Hershen Company LLC plumbing,
yep.
That 264 was how much before we rebid?
For the first time we bid,
that number was about the same. It was the other low bid, yeah. We didn't really save much there because we didn't make any changes. So that number is about the same. It actually went up a couple of dollars. It went up like $3,000.
Hey. With regard to the heating?
The heating went from 359 to 123 on work location one. Because that's where we didn't...
We changed it. No, that was a VA, yeah.
And then the 300 wing, there were no changes to that, and that number stayed exactly the same, $218,000, both on last bid and this bid.
And then the work location three, same?
Yeah.
Is there any way, I mean, so now you've got the, you know, a heating service company, we have an additional heating job, and maybe the answer is from a public perspective, no. But to have, if he was also awarded the Main Street gym work at a later date, do it when you're slow, there's some savings there. You award it now and he does it later? Or is that not something that you can consider from a public perspective?
No, because you have to award it. He's not going to give us the money back later. I mean, if we award it now with kind of like a promissory note, you're going to give me back?
No. What I'm saying is, the way that you bid it, I think, was he does it over the summer. And what you said is these guys are busy over the summer. So is there one contractor gets both jobs, but he does it in a staggered way? There's some savings there such that we can do it now?
You have to bid it that way.
You have to bid it that way.
That's my question.
We bid it that everything has to be done by September 1st.
And that's why we're going to pick specific dates. We're hoping that being very specific on dates will save us even more money.
So we're going to get a larger pool. Bitters.
That's what we're calling. And then we give specific dates during the school year. We're hoping that it really
works. Okay. Got it. And then electrical, same thing?
Electrical is, about the same across the board.
So the risk that we run is if we accept this tonight, we're only left with $1,070,000, and we could have to cut something here. I mean, I guess from my perspective, I would ask to look and see if there's a way to tighten that up, still get the substance that the community is looking for at the cost that they've approved when we rebid.
Yep.
Is anybody, what do you think, Anna?
Yeah, I'm just curious as when we would rebid to relook at the work.
In the fall, I said.
Yes. That's all fall.
Right after Labor Day. Nobody's going to be focusing on new work while they're in the summer, but right after Labor Day, we go out to bid right away.
Darryl, what do you think?
Just I wanted to ask a question first. So you total up all this work that we're proposing that we do now over the summer, mm-hmm. and that total amount is $1.844 million.
Yeah.
And then you add to that subtract that from the $4,254 that we have remaining.
Yep. We also have casework.
Also in there, we've already awarded, the Essa tank at $158,990.
Yeah.
The $650,000 for all the science casework. I think the tables and chairs and loose furniture was about $40,000. The 11% for the...
You're just going to back all that up.
Okay, because it's about
$1 million. A little
makes sense. Okay.
So, let me ask a question. Tables and chairs and things like that. Is that not stuff that we've got that we can otherwise...
This is casework. This is...
Well, Darryl.
What does that word mean?
One was built-in casework, the built-in furniture, the fume hoods, and the sink units. But then there was also... we could not award that loose tables and chairs and just kind of use things from around the house.
I mean, that's something I think... And I don't know. I mean, we're talking $7,000 such that doesn't move the needle, or
40.
Is it 50?
$40.
I wonder if that's something that you wait on. I'd much rather not be $27,000 short for the heating system and say, wow, we could have moved chairs from somewhere else and worked that through over 3 years in our budget if we had to. Is that crazy? Or
I didn't even realize it was bondable, the stuff that's loose, like tables and chairs.
Renovations and stuff.
What do you think?
Maybe it's me, but you do a kitchen in your house, and then you don't do some of the stuff.
Right, but if you have nice tables, science, but no stone.
No, but these science, like our science, our tables in the science level from 1979. So even them alone, it's not just getting a better table. Probably, they're old, and they're certainly tired.
Gary and I were just talking about is we just award to A&D just the stools for the science rooms now.
because we only need them now. If we get all of this casework, if we don't, if we're doing the elementary school stuff throughout the year, we're just going to have to store it for 5 or 6 or 7 months. And we go back to the vendor and say, listen, we pulled it from you the first time. What can you do a little bit better the next time? Maybe they save 5, 6, 7, 10,000, whatever it is. Now they're providing furniture in the off season as well.
A good portion of the tables and of the chairs, it's really chairs for the ET. A good portion of that is for the the 200 wing science labs and for the 300 wing work. There's only a small percentage of that that is for the second story science room that we were going to blow out that and make that room.
We can pull that out now and ask them to.
Yeah, so that cost would not be depleted that much. If we were to pull out those chairs, you wouldn't realize.
It doesn't move the needle.
Yeah, you wouldn't realize a lot of savings.
Okay.
I know. We went through the VE portion of the science wing. This 234 on the electrical, you said that wasn't much of a change. So weren't there substantial feeders and switch gear that were required?
But a lot of that, we pulled that off because we don't want running all the new feeders to the rooftop units.
Right, so, but I mean, did that number go down?
His number went down, but he was higher the last time. So he actually, his number went down, but he was almost in line with the guy who was higher. So we got a little bit, a little burned on the electrical.
And the guy that had room didn't even show up.
Didn't show up.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a much more substantial pickup. On
That's what we were talking about today,
I mean, when you compare his old bid to his new bid,
he's less.
He went down. Yeah, he went down. Whatever, X number of, but he was higher to start. So
he didn't get the other jobs, and they went out the last 6 weeks. The four of them got the jobs.
So now he says, "Uh-oh."
He says, "Oh, well, let me grab this job."
Yeah, and that's the risk that we talked about going out to rebid, and but for the most part, by saving the whatever that almost $450,000.
Okay.
So you want to make a motion? If you want to make a motion.
Well, is everybody, any other questions? So, do you have one written up? We need a motion to approve the bids as set forth in JIG Architect March 22nd, 2017 letter and to reject those alternative bids as set forth in such letter. Motion.
Motion.
Little second. Discussion. Anybody discuss? All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. So this is a new topic. Does anybody have any questions about what we just went through?
Do you utilize some of that general fund if you do fall short in the end? So will you guys collect $335,000 between the year of general fund money throughout the year, whether it's textbooks, jerseys, uniforms, etc.? Could some of that money be reallocated if you fall $40,000 short?
The problem is you don't get the state reimbursement. That's a big problem. I mean, we have things for emergency. We have things for emergency cases.
If your $1,070,000 is gone, you're not going to have it either way.
So we can't. And Kat, I'll correct me if I'm wrong, we can't spend our general fund dollars on capital improvements without a community vote.
Correct.
So the answer to your question is, yes, we can still do it, but we would have to go out to the community and say, costs went up, we want to keep the scope, we want to spend the money from our budget, or have a $40,000 additional bond, right, which somebody would say is ridiculous because the lawyers will charge more than that to get it done, probably. Right. Do you approve? Community says yes or no. If community approves, great, and it's still aidable?
John? If you got voted over,
if you got voted
yes.
Yeah.
Or you can get through the emergency. If it was an emergency.
But then it comes out of our bank account, right? I mean, it's...
Right. That's what I'm just thinking.
Maybe it makes sense.
If you get stuck in the end result anyway, you're replacing object with object because ultimately that money is object for object.
Yep.
So,
Or you go and you make the determination that, we are going to narrow it slightly and, not do one bathroom now and we'll revisit it. I don't know. And that's the VE piece that... Okay. Yeah. Anybody else have any questions? All right. So we're going to adjourn to executive session for a couple minutes. We may come back into public session.
Yes.
To address one issue. But if you want to stick around, feel free. It'll be probably 10 minutes. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussion, collective negotiation of the tail law of the CMTA. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Motion carries. Give me 1 minute to figure out what's going on.